Hello, friends. So it is either March, June, September, or December. And with that being said, which you're probably like, why are you telling me this? I know what month it is. But those are the months that I get migraine shots. If you want more information about why or just my health journey in general, check out any of the Spoonie Life episodes, particularly, I believe, Spoonie Life Part 3 or 4 from Season 1 is where you'll get, I think, the most detailed, like, this is what I deal with, this is kind of what I do, etc. So, generally, I do batch recording, and what that means is I record a couple months in a row, and then I put out the content when I know that I'm going to be sicker. Obviously, with chronic health, you never quite know how you're going to feel from day to day, but I try to plan ahead. So just know that if there's any reference to time or time since a certain time happened or whatever, that is why it may be a little bit different, because we will be talking about when we're currently recording, how much time has passed since X, Y, and Z versus when the episode airs, that's how much time has passed, if that makes any sense. But anyways, let's dive into the episode. I hope you enjoy it. I know it's going to be a good one. Every single guest that I chat with and will be chatting with in the future is amazing, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear it. So let's dive in. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Beautiful Legacy Podcast. I am your host, Abigail Gagnon, and today we are going to talk all about living to thriving with Allie, and I am so excited to have her as a special guest today. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks for having me. Hello, everyone. Yeah, so you can call me Allie, and I am all about soul transformation. After everything I've gone through in my own journey, personally, career-wise, motherhood, just every piece of, you know, my journey mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, I have really come to this place of true inner peace and knowing and allowing and trusting in my spirit and my divine connection. And that's all come from this place of soul transformation. I love to tell everyone that I feel one of my gifts is that I'm an activator, and I help others be guided through their divine breath to be able to come back to the authenticity of their soul so that they can shine as well as brightly as they're meant to.
I absolutely love that. And I know that when we had talked about doing this episode, you had shared with me that some of what got you into this was your postpartum journey. So can you tell the listeners what postpartum is and what that was like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, I went through pretty heavy postpartum depression and anxiety. And yeah, for those that don't really know, postpartum depression is honestly kind of just this black hole that happens to a lot, unfortunately, of mothers. When you become a mother, you know, your hormones change so much usually from everything you've gone through. You most likely, especially if it's your first, you've gone through some sort of a traumatic experience, because birth is just one of those things. I think our society doesn't fully understand how to be supportive in that space for mothers. I'll digress. That's a whole other conversation. But the point of saying that is because it creates a lot of trauma and it creates a lot of imbalance for the mother. And I feel that in my journey, when I had my daughter after 42 hours and landing in a C-section after wanting to have a natural birth, my body was in so much trauma. My mind was in so much disarray and trauma. And I didn't even know what I was actually going through, and that I was losing myself in so much. And I was meeting a brand new version of myself as well as a brand new baby. And that is what really led me into this heavy hole of like, who am I? What am I doing? Like, what is life? Can I even show up as a mother? Can I even do this? And I think a lot of moms have that conversation, because no one really says to you when you give birth, whether you have a great birth or not, hey, by the way, you can buy all the things to be prepped for your baby, but nobody really says, hey, you need to actually prep mind, body, spirit to go into this journey of, wow, this is going to be a transformation in the most beautiful way possible, but how can I actually allow myself to go through it versus suppressing all my emotions, thinking I'm crazy, and then that unfortunately leading to what happens to many, which is postpartum depression. And when we go through these bouts of depression, it's not just being depressed over a certain moment or, you know, a certain week. It's, you know, on end, minute by minute, feeling like you're spiraling out of control, speaking for myself, feeling continuous darkness, not knowing how to get out of it. Your mind is racing, your thoughts won't stop. Everything is just essentially attacking you and telling you you can't do anything. And then your body is also going through it because you've been through a physical birth. For me, I was in a lot of pain from my C-section and surgery, from the extensive labor, everything my body had physically been through. And then emotionally and spiritually, I just felt so broken. And that depression also led to so much anxiousness in my body and in my mind, of this constant anxiety and fear that I wasn't good enough. I wasn't going to be able to show up. I wasn't going to be a good mom. I couldn't even be me as a person. And who was I even as Allie? Because I was a celebrity wardrobe stylist before I became a mother. Now, who am I and what am I doing? And, you know, this postpartum depression journey brings up a lot of the who am I, what the F am I doing, you know, what are these feelings I'm experiencing? And unfortunately, our medical system loves to tell us it's baby blues until it's not. And for a lot of mothers, it's actually not baby blues right off the gate. It really is the beginning of their journey with mental health, with their wellness being off, with their hormones being off. And so I say that because I think just starting there alone, what is postpartum depression and anxiety? It's something that we don't talk about enough. And for every mother, it looks different. But it starts with the fact that you were once just you, and now you're you and another person or persons.
That is a lot. I think that would be so, I am not a mother, but I can't imagine trying to balance a new life with a new baby and then also dealing with all of that. I know that obviously it's different for everybody, but what would you say from your experience are some of the signs that people should look for when they know a new mother or are a spouse of someone that just gave birth?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. I think one, just noticing that they are having a hard time, maybe, you know, doing anything for themselves. You know, I remember feeling so guilty to even take a shower or just get myself dressed and together. It was very much like, I have to make sure that I take care of my baby and I have to make sure I'm doing everything. And a lot of moms feel that way because we feel like, well, this is our brand new life. This is our, you know, new chapter. And I have to make sure I'm present for it. And you do need to be, but you also need to love on yourself even deeper. I would say to, you know, any mother or spouse who, you know, is watching someone after they've had a baby, like really pay attention to, like, are they loving on themselves? Are they taking the time not just to shower, but to actually love on themselves, whatever that looks like, reading a book, you know, sitting and getting some sunshine, exercising when they're obviously, you know, told they can, you know, taking a walk, meditating, you know, breath work, you know, whatever it is, you know, that makes them feel good, going to see a friend or having a friend over, whatever feels good to them, that they're doing those things, that they continue the activities that they had before they became a mother. And I think that was a huge piece of my journey, was like, I didn't know who I was when I became a mom. So I almost felt like I had to let go of all the things I did before I had my daughter. And I think that that also honestly like destroyed me in a way, because I just lost so much and so much fell away and I didn't know how to show up. And if I had had someone say to me, hey, you know what, maybe you're not ready to go back to set and be around all the people that you were working with in the Hollywood space, but, you know, spending time with a friend or go and sit and read a book and I'll take care of the baby right now. Or, you know, you can take a nap and rest, all these things, because we're in no sleep you know, we're in, you know, fight or flight in our nervous system. You know, speaking of, you know, with the breathing, you know, our nervous system is pretty hijacked. Our cortisol levels are high. Most likely we're pretty exhausted just because we are maybe nursing around the clock, or we're just feeding the baby. We're not getting as much sleep. We're learning how to be a brand new person to this life. And so it's just paying attention, you know, to those little things and noticing, like, are they looking happy today, or do they feel like they're overwhelmed? Maybe they don't know how to speak it and communicate it. How can you communicate it to them so they can feel safe to say, you know what, I am really overwhelmed right now. I would like to go take a nap, or I would like just to step away because the baby's been screaming for so long and I need a moment to just go and reset before I come back to be able to be present, to feel good for me and for my baby in the situation that's going on. And, you know, obviously everyone's different, but I just think awareness and communication is so huge and not talked about enough.
I think that's awesome advice. I lived with my siblings, my sister-in-law and my brother, for a period of time. And my sister-in-law had one of my nieces while I was living there. And I definitely tried to make sure that I was helping when I could, but also obviously not like taking over, like overstepping. But I think that it's so important to realize that they're still people. And like, yes, they are a mom. And yes, they, you know, like you said, a part of it is, you know, you have to take care of this new life. But I think that it also takes a village to a point. And I don't think that anybody should feel guilty for asking someone to help out, whether it be, hey, can you watch, you know, him or her while I go take a shower, or whatever it may be. And I think that that is something that I've noticed in a lot of my friends over the years, where they feel like, oh, I can't ask someone to come over and help me with the baby. I got to invite them over and like be a host. And yes, like, I've had friends absolutely try to do that. And I'm like, you don't have to do anything. Like, let me hold the kid. And if you want to be the one that does the dishes and that's, you know, helps you because you feel like you're doing something that's not just holding the baby, then that's fine. Or let me do the dishes while you hold the baby and we'll talk. And if you don't want to talk at all, like, that's fine too. And I just, it's nice.
Yeah,
just,
I love that. And it's like
really hard,
right? It's like really understanding exactly what you spoke to of like, they may be in the moment where they want to do the dishes and they want to feel like normal and they can do all the things, or maybe they just want you to hold the baby so they can literally just go to the bathroom and they can go lay down and take a nap. And I remember just like, even with the hosting, like, it made me crazy when I had my first daughter. Everybody wanted to come over. And of course I was grateful they wanted to meet her, but I was exhausted. I had been through so much in my labor and in my delivery. And I just wanted to be in my robe and like sleep and rest. And everybody wanted to come over. And I felt like, okay, I can't look like this messy person. I got to get myself together. And like, how am I even gonna get out of this robe? Because everything hurts me right now to get dressed because my body has this scar and I'm uncomfortable in my skin and all the things. And that alone was so much pressure on me personally. And I'm sure other moms go through that too. And so like, I always tell everyone, I'm like, look, give people space too. Like, yes, of course you want to meet the baby, but give them a few weeks to get acclimated and get settled. You want to drop off meals while they're first home. You know, they don't have to see you, but they can just receive love and, you know, a meal, or you want to, you know, contribute to a meal train or whatever it may be. But like, give them that space to say when they're comfortable, hey, can you come over and hang out? I don't know if I'm ready to talk or even, you know, communicate, but like, just be here in my presence. Just hang out and hold the baby. Just let me get some rest. Like, all of those things are so small, but they add up so much. And I think I've learned now that I'm a mother of three, like, how to really create my own sacred boundaries when it comes to my birth and my family and all of those things. And I feel it's so important for mothers to know, like, you need to create those boundaries from the get-go. And I wish I did when I had my first daughter. I wish I understood how important it was to have communication, to have awareness, and to have sacred boundaries to say, I'm just not ready to do that yet. Or I'm not ready to have someone over yet to host or to meet the baby. I'm still figuring me out, and that's okay. And I'm not going to feel guilty that I'm not ready to see that person or that family member or have them meet my new baby.
Exactly. I think sometimes, I know from what friends have said, that they feel like they need to have especially family over right away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, well, that's, you know, their grandmother, that's their aunt. And I think that just because somebody, you know, has a title with your child, that doesn't mean that they're entitled to see them like right away, or that they should be, you know, need to hold them. Like if the baby just fell asleep and you don't want to disturb them, like if they're truly like family and good, like not toxic people in your life, they should be fine with being like, okay, let the baby sleep. I'll look at the baby. I'll hold the baby later on, or, you know, I'll visit the baby another time. Or I'll wait
when you're ready for me to come. Yeah. And I had to have those conversations with my own family of like, look, I know you want to come right away, but like, I need some space. I need some breathing room. And I think that's also like a paradigm shift, right? That's like a real generational pattern we're starting to see break now, because for so long it was like, well, they had the baby, you just come see them right away. You immediately come, you come with all the gifts, you come with this, you come with that. And of course it comes with like good intentions for the most part, right? But there's a toxicity to that. And there is like this overwhelming feeling and energy that comes with it, where you feel like then you have to show up, you have to perform. And that's the last thing you want to be doing as a brand new mother. You need to be resting. You need to be nourishing. You need to be just with your baby and learning the ins and outs of yourself and this new baby, and also with your partner of how to manage together and work together, and not include all these other parties of opinions and energy and being in your space. And, you know, when we speak about, you know, breath work and what I do now, a huge piece to this is our nervous system. When we operate in a regulated homeostasis nervous system, which is our parasympathetic system, for those that don't know, which is when you're truly breathing deeply and consciously, like into your belly, into your chest and out, versus the fight or flight, which is where most of us operate from, which is your sympathetic. And honestly, most mothers operate from, especially after traumatic, you know, births and everything else. You come from a space of homeostasis. You come from a place of a parasympathetic system, and you can actually make those decisions and be aligned in your energy of, I know exactly what I need right now, and I know exactly what I want, versus responding and reacting from that fight or flight situation and just quickly saying, okay, fine, it can come over. All right, yeah, it's fine. No big deal. I'll deal with it later. And you just kind of hastily decide. And there's no judgment in any of this, because it's something I've had to learn in my journey as well. But I realize the more I do this and the more I coach mothers and others through this, the more they're regulated, the more real they become in their state, and the more energetically they understand what serves them and what doesn't. And it's not a question, because they listen to their soul from the get-go.
I love that. And as I mentioned, I'm not a mother yet, but being in fight or flight mode a lot, because I definitely deal with CPSD. I've talked to my husband about, like, when we have kids, which that is the plan and hope, that regardless of whether I birth the kid or not, like whether we do surrogacy or adopt or whatever, like I want to make sure that him and I have clear boundaries that we're going to set in place with family members and stuff in advance, so that, you know, we're all on the same page. And if they try to cross that, like, I know that my husband is on the same page as me, so he can, you know, help stand up for me. I'm not saying he wouldn't if we weren't clear in advance. I just
It's important to communicate, right? This is the communication and the awareness, right? And there's a lot of boundaries that can be pushed when, you know, you do have family around and you do have people, again, who are in these. There's, you know, I just want to preface, there's no judgment. It's just, these are the patterns that people have been in for so long. And I'm so happy to see now that these are starting to shift and break and change, because this is how we make change. But so many people are so used to just, I'm going to shove my beliefs on you because this is what we did. This is what my mother did. This is what my family did. And it's like, okay, that's all well and good, but that doesn't work for me. If I'm going to be regulated, if I'm going to feel safe, I'm going to communicate to my partner what I need so they can also help me stand on that. It's the same as when you go in, you know, for birth, whether you're having a home birth or you're at the hospital, whatever it is, birth center, you have to have your clear boundaries. This is what I'm willing to do, and this is what I'm not willing to do. And obviously all within, you know, health and reason, but you set those boundaries so everyone knows where you are. And it goes for the same after into the actual postpartum space of when you actually have your child.
Yes, I completely agree. Because I think that boundaries is one thing that I have had to work on a lot
over
the years. And so I think that I know that when I have kids, hopefully, that I'm the type of person that gets very like defensive and protective over like my younger siblings or my nieces or whatever. So I know that with my kids, I could do it. But I just want to have, like, obviously there's going to be things that are going to come up that I wouldn't necessarily have thought of. But I think that it's important, you know, to know it, to have some idea in advance of, like, my husband and I have talked about too, like, my family is very big on traditions, and every year we do the same exact thing for holidays. We do the same things for camping and whatever. And it's great. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I think that I also want to make my own traditions too with my kids. And so yeah. I think that that is
a boundary, right? It's like, exactly. I mean, and again, it's like, these things are not, you know, done, I really don't believe, like, toxic or, you know, or maliciously. It's like, this is just the way it was. It was always these patterns. It was, this is what we do. This is the tradition. And it's not to say you can't keep those, but, like, exactly. I want to create my own. I want to have my own boundaries about what I actually want to participate in and what I don't. And just because I've been doing it for 20 years of my life doesn't mean I have to do it for the 21st year of my life, right? Or 30th year of my life or whatever it is. Like, when we're changing and evolving and we're creating these boundaries, especially, I believe they're sacred, you're changing the paradigm. You're changing how you show up and what you allow and what you don't allow. And it is a learning curve of, like, okay, what feels good and what doesn't. And just communicating that of, like, hey, I'm not coming to do this to hurt your feelings. Like, I think that was huge with my family. It was like, my parents were so upset. And it was like, this is not about you or saying anything you've done is wrong. Quite the opposite. This is about me understanding who I am fully and what I need now. And what I needed back then was a different version of me. And I need to honor the version of me now and who I am in this regulated space, in this people's space, to say, it's okay that I don't want to participate in that. And I still love you regardless that I don't want to participate in that.
Absolutely. Amen. I completely relate to that. And I think it can be so hard when it's family, especially it's like, they are like, oh, like you said, like, you've been doing it for 20 plus years. It's like, okay, well, some of that was my childhood, so I didn't really have a choice. Mm-hmm. And just because I continued doing it into adulthood doesn't mean I need to do it from now until eternity. Like,
right. Until the day I die. Like, why can't I change? Exactly. It's like, why can't I change? And I think this is where, you know, again, these generational, you know, patterns and even generational traumas that are, you know, we have 7 to 9 generations of generational trauma, you know, that sits in our actual, you know, DNA and cells and fascia. And I don't even think sometimes our parents and grandparents realize that they're also operating from those places. Not saying all traditions are that, but there's a lot of things people do just because they were told it's what you do, just because it was the quote unquote right thing to do. And that's not necessarily right for you or for your new family that you're growing and creating. So yeah, it's understanding, like, hey, I get to change and evolve, and hopefully you can understand that and love me through it.
Yes, exactly. I completely agree. And too, like, not only with traditions, but just, like, things you're taught growing up as well.
Oh,
like,
yes. Beliefs,
so many things I had to unlearn. And I'm like, if I don't know the why of why I believe it, then I need to dive deeper into that. And if that means I'm going to then change my opinion or belief on that subject, then that's what's going to happen. And I've learned to be okay with that and not be like, okay, well, I believed, like, wrongly or whatever before. Right. And like that, I don't know something unless I know it. So.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's the unlearning we're all going through right now. And that's what I believe is creating so many of these paradigm shifts and people, you know, really seeking truth and wanting to know. And this is where I feel like, you know, when you connect back to, you know, your soul and the divine connection and, you know, God and source and universe and however, you know, it shows up for you, you really start to understand, like, I get to question these beliefs because I want to know more. I want to know who I am as a soul. I want this actual knowing versus telling, right? Instead of being told this is what it is and this is what I believe, it's like, I actually believe it because with every fiber of my being, I feel it, I know it to be true, and I've done the research to understand it. And I'm still growing and evolving in that space, and I will continue to as I move through in my evolution.
Absolutely. And with going back a little bit to the postpartum step, what are some resources that you'd recommend for people to look into while they're pregnant, before pregnancy, you know, to kind of prepare themselves, and then also maybe some resources for after the fact or for friends and family to have a better understanding of how to help someone that's going through postpartum depression?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So first, I would just say, when you get pregnant, you know, start journaling on, you know, what are those boundaries that you want to start creating right now? Because before you know it, that baby's going to be there 9 months later, and you are going to be so in it and so taken away from everything that you're not going to have the time in that moment to sit there and say, okay, now let me create my boundaries. No, you create them now as soon as it's happened. So you can also be in a space of a safe space of like, I feel not only good in this, but I can communicate this now. So my parents know, my grandparents know, my aunt, whatever, my brother, sister, everyone knows where I'm at. This is what I'm doing, you know, as far as the baby's concerned. This is, you know, how I'm having my birth. You know, this is what I expect when the baby comes home, like laying it all out really lovingly, but like very much, these are my boundaries and this is what I want, and communicating that to your partner so that they can also be on the same page as you and help you uphold those boundaries when you maybe have a hard time not doing it because you are literally depleted and have no sleep and don't even know where your brain is because you just had a brand new baby. So, you know, having that written out is really helpful. Another thing is writing down the things that like you want to remind yourself that are really important to you, whether it be reading a book, taking a nice bath, going on walks, going on date night, whatever it is that like you want to make sure you're intentional about keeping that fabric before that new life enters into your world that you're going to go back to and look at, even if it's, of course, not right away when you have the baby, but it's something that you know you're going to go back to of like, I'm going to come back to this space and I'm going to get intentional about making sure I read a book at least, you know, once a week, or I'm going to call a friend, you know, once, you know, every 3 days or whatever it is, or I'm going to go on a date night once a month with my husband so I can reconnect and know I have that space, because it's important to really remember who you are before your child or children come into the picture. And then as far as like resources, you know, I mean, everyone's different, obviously. So I would just say, you know, start looking into like ways that you can really do the inward work. I think it's so important when you are pregnant to, whether it's meditation, it's breath work, it's, you know, like reading certain books, it's affirmations, or it's all of the above, finding what resonates for you to be able to really connect to you inwardly, to feel good as you're growing and stretching through this new season in your life, physically and emotionally. It's a lot. And being able to ride those waves and what is going on. You know, there's different books, of course, that you can, you know, read, but to be quite honest, I read like 20 and I still felt so unprepared. So I don't really love sharing, you know, a quote unquote resource when it comes to that, because I feel it's more of an inward journey. It's more about, how can I understand this mind, body, spirit connection for myself so that when I go through this experience of giving birth, I can be better prepared. So I think, you know, also doing like exercises physically, like keeping your body in good shape while you're pregnant is super helpful. If you're someone who likes to go on walks, like walks were really helpful for me. Working on my pelvic floor was super helpful for me to keep my body in a good space. Meditation and breath work was extremely helpful for me because I just felt like no matter what went on in the outside world, and I also had a baby during 2020, so I had a lot of chaos in my second birth. I was able to stay grounded and I was able to stay really rooted in my beliefs and what I felt was right and what I needed because I did the inward work. Journaling, I would highly recommend getting a journal and journaling out your thoughts, your fears, your excitement, your gratitude, all of it, letting it all flow and not stay stuck within you. And, you know, I would love to offer my app as a resource with breath work. I have my very own app called Breathe and Be. And it has, you know, a library of breathwork exercises, affirmations, meditations. I add new stuff every month. I also have a community in there who communicates and I correspond with you guys. And you can message me any questions that you have coming up with anything. And I just made it as a place for everyone to feel safe to be able to take those conscious breaths, whether it's 3 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, or it's an hour. I have all different sessions on there for me to be in your pocket and say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm cheering you on. I've been there. You know, even if you're not someone who, you know, is in this space yet, breathwork is really transformational and life-changing when it comes to just allowing yourself to regulate your nervous system and move out of fight or flight. And I think that's most important before anything else, is really being grounded and rooted when going through such an amazing transformational experience.
I love all of that. And with the app, is there a cost or like subscription for it, or is it a free app?
Yeah, absolutely. Good question. So it's free to download on the App Store and Google Play, and then you can subscribe to get all the offerings. So I have a couple free breathworks on there so you can kind of get a feel and, you know, just get your toes wet if you're interested. And then when you want to take the deeper journey and you want to actually make it a practice and a, you know, an actual habit that you add to your daily life, then you can subscribe, and it's $11.11 a month. So I made it very affordable, and I did angel numbers because I love to work with angel numbers. And that way you get all the meditations, all the new content I put in is constantly added to your library when you're subscribed. And you also will see all my like events and everything I do firsthand. I drop all my events and projects and everything in there in case you're wanting to work with me one-on-one or be one of my group containers. And so it's a great place to be in my space if you're wanting to learn more and have that support. I get to coach you in the app for a really affordable way to do it.
That is so awesome. Do you have just like breath work, like meditation, or do you have like sleep stories, or is it normally just stuff that people will be using like during the day?
Yeah, no, I've been adding as my community's been asking me. So if there's ones for sleep, there's ones for anxiety and letting go of fear, there's ones for gratitude, for joy, for expansion, for presence. I just did one yesterday for peace. So as my community shares what they're looking for and what they're needing support around, I continue to pour in more exercises in there, as well as affirmations around that, and also longer meditations. I dropped in a new meditation yesterday all about trust, and I'll add in a little bit of different energy work and rapid energetic rewiring from my certifications that I've learned of how to help you further drop in with your mindset and the breathing. So I'm always, as I'm learning and evolving, I bring that into my space. So you're getting everything that I go deeper on. The deeper I go, the deeper the Breathe and Be my app goes. So it's always something new for you to dive into as you're subscribed.
I absolutely love that. I'll have to check it out. I have been using the Abide app. And that has some stuff for during the day as well, but I mainly use it just for the sleep stories. Yeah, but I'll definitely have to check yours out.
Yeah, and if you'd like, I can make like a code for 10% off for your listeners if you want. You could just tell me now while we're here so you can just keep it for the recording, and then I can just make it for you and send it over. I don't know if you want to like call it Beautiful 10 or something or whatever. You tell me and we'll make that the code, and I'll give that for a month, for you and your listeners to be able to use, so you guys can get in there and, check out the app and the exercises and see how it serves you.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I will definitely let you know. And maybe you could make it for around when this comes out, so that way when people hear it, they can get the full 30 days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just tell me what you want it to be. Like, if you want it to be like the podcast, like Beautiful, if you want it to be your name, Abigail 10, like whatever feels good to your community, I'll just make it for that. And then let me know when this will air, and I'll put the expiration to be like the month afterwards, so people have time to jump on and use it and get, the full month's worth to really experience. But yeah, I'm always adding in there as people give me feedback and say, hey, like I had someone recently tell me I want a longer one for sleep because I listened to it longer. So I made another longer breath work for sleep with more music. So they, told me that that helped them sleep more. So I'm always listening to my community and looking to help serve wherever I can to make an even deeper impact.
I absolutely love that. That is so awesome. And with that, could you tell us a little bit about how you got started with breath work and what it is besides the app that you do to help others go from like surviving to thriving with the breath work and meditation and all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in my journey of being a celebrity wardrobe stylist, I went through massive burnout, in my career, just from high pressure and Hollywood and all I went through. And it was, a lot to go through. And when I went in that burnout season, before I even became, a mother, it was just really hard to like recognize like, oh, I'm just not feeling good at what I'm doing anymore. And I can't make anything work. And I think that's what happens when we hit burnout, right? It's like, no matter what you do energetically, nothing is working, nothing is fixing. And it was because I needed to do the inner work. I was looking outside for so long for, accolades and, love and, affirmation of you're doing this right and praise and all the things that we all look for from the outside world, but nothing was actually fulfilling me. And when I started doing the inward work, of I need to start working on me, what's going on with me that I am seeking the outside. And it began with meditation, where it was just getting still and quiet, and allowing myself to start to allow my thoughts to come up and trust I could be still with myself for more than 5 minutes a day, was where it began. And I want to tell, you know, your listeners, when I first started Meditation Abigail, I was so resistant to it. Like, I could not stand it. I tried to be distracted on my phone. Like, I did not want to meditate at all because I was actually very fearful of being still and being with my thoughts. And I went from a place of, you know, constantly fighting and writing in my journal every day how much I hated meditation, to actually starting to notice little shifts over a couple months. Like, oh, the birds are chirping. Oh, what a beautiful sunset today. And it sounds so silly, but it really was these like little shifts of like, oh, wow, like I'm noticing and appreciating the little things in my life versus like needing to have this like massive dopamine hit to like feel good. And it was such a like a shift that came. And then, you know, the breath work dropped in as I was starting to really want to work on more of the inner work of like, okay, I'm working on my mindset. Gratitude journaling is helping. Meditation is helping. Affirmations are helping. Some cognitive therapy and word therapy is helping. What's next? And it was really to get into the body. And to be honest, breath work helped me a little bit in the beginning of my journey. It wasn't until 2020, where I was pregnant with my second daughter, and because the world was where it was, that breath work grounded me deeply. Like, I was able to keep myself as sane as possible in a crazy world, and I was able to stay peaceful through my entire pregnancy, even when the world told me, you know, everything was chaos and I needed to be fearful. I was able to just keep my inner peace and my knowing and my trust, everything was going to be okay with me. My baby was going to be okay. Everything was going to be okay. And when it came to birthing her at the hospital, I wanted to have a VBAC with her. And for those that don't know in your community, a VBAC is a vaginal birth after a C-section. And I had been told, you know, that probably wouldn't happen just because I had had a C-section. And I had all the faith that I had done a ton of chiropractic work. I had done a ton of research. I didn't believe what I was being told because I had done my own research and had seen that isn't always true. And there's a lot of, you know, factors. And I say that because a lot of people, you know, of course, like tried to tell me, well, this is what it is. But then when I did the research around the numbers and how many women actually do have them, it was like 89% of women actually do have a successful VBAC after their first baby has a C-section. So I did chiropractic work. I did, you know, acupuncture, mindset work, you know, breath work. And I'm like, I have the faith I can do this. So when it came to having her at the very end of the 42 weeks when she was coming, she got stuck at the hospital. And in that moment, I remember having the awareness to say, okay, I'm not going to get stuck in the fight or flight. I've worked on my nervous system for so long now. I'm going to stay regulated. I'm going to trust. And I started listening to a fear releasing playlist in my ears. And I started breathing really deeply and getting into a meditative state through breath work. And the only thing I can explain the next moment that happened was it was honestly an out of body experience. It was a very profound spiritual experience where I was no longer physically in my body. I was watching myself give birth. And next thing I knew, my doctor said, push. And I pushed and she was on my chest, all 9 pounds and 3 ounces of her. And it was life-changing to see that I actually had my VBAC. And I knew it was because of my divine connection. It was because of the inner peace and the regulating of my nervous system that I was able to move through the trauma. I was able to move through the fear and anxiety and move to a place of true knowing and peace. And I know everyone has that within them when they allow themselves to go there and see the power within. And that is what led me to not only doing more breath work, but then becoming certified in the work, because I wanted to understand not only for myself, but for anyone that I could be of service to, how I could bring this work to them.
That is so awesome and so amazing. I love that. I definitely am somebody that I have a very, very hard time being still. Mm-hmm. Regardless, yeah. Like, most even of us do. Sitting, like, yeah. I need to like be fidgeting with either a fidget toy or, you know, the strings on my hoodie or whatever it may be. Like, I have such a hard time just being still. And I think some of it, I'm much better now. I used to get such severe like panic attacks whenever I would just be trying to be still. And now it's just, I tend to fidget. The only time I feel like I can be completely still and not be in my head, not need to fidget, with anything is if I'm by water. If I'm sitting and I'm like got my toes in the water or I'm in the water, I feel like that's the only time where I feel like I can be just be.
Yeah. The water is very cleansing. I mean, energetically, I get that because I love a good bath. I love a good shower. Like, you know, the water, the ocean, lakes, like, yeah, it's very cleansing. I mean, there's real, you know, science that shows like how much, you know, the, like the water energizes us and clears us. So, I mean, that makes sense. But I think most people have, unfortunately, have a lot of anxiousness and, you know, have a hard time being still. And part of that is our society. Our society teaches us to always be on the go, to always be distracted, to never go inward, but to always go outward. And I believe on a much deeper sense, that's what we're seeing in the world right now. We're seeing so many people are struggling because they need to do the inner work and their body is screaming for them to, and their soul is asking for the connection, but they just keep looking outward because that's what we're taught. And I was the same way until I wasn't.
Yes, exactly. I think that that is one thing that even though being more chronically ill and not being able to be on the go as much, sometimes it's really hard. But one of the things that I'm really appreciative about the fact that that's the case now is because I've been able to work on a lot of and like get to a lot of the root causes of why some of the things are and like realize, oh, you have CPSD, like you like are dealing with these things, and getting to the root of like why certain things bother me has been so helpful. And I'm so grateful that I've been able to do that because like I said, I used to get panic attacks like if I was just sitting, and I still am very bad at resting, but yeah. I am to the point now where I can recognize that and I know some of the reasons why. And so I'm able to catch myself, whereas before I didn't know why. I was just like, why am I having panic attacks if I'm just sitting? And so I'm really grateful that I have that and have the ability to be able to work through a lot of that. And with breath
for you, like I celebrate you that you were able to start to look at the root, because so much of it is like the root, you know, there is so much, like I said, in our cells, in our fascia, in our body, so much of it isn't even ours that we carry generationally. And there's so much that to be, you know, healed and felt and layers to go through. And that doesn't mean, you know, you do it in one day and you're, you know, exhausted and you're, you know, you're healed. This is like, a, you know, an actual journey, right? When we choose to work on ourselves, but we do see the shifts. We do see, oh my gosh, I'm not just crazy because I have anxiety. Oh, I have anxiety because this is what's going on with me. Okay, well then how do I get to the root of this? And how can I help support my body, right? And how can I help support my mind? And it's all mind, body, spirit. And I think when we all start to understand that it can't be compartmentalized and it really is all fluid within each other, we can start to really help ourselves feel better and then help others also be guided to be, you know, more of themselves, which is why I say, like, I activate people into who they authentically are as a soul, because I know everyone has this within them. And I know as someone who struggled so deeply with anxiety and depression and stress and constant fight or flight, that that is not the person I am today. And I'm so grateful. And I continue to learn and evolve as I go deeper in the work.
I completely agree. And I think some things too, like having that generational things, or even it might not even be necessarily your parents or just like, you know, a relative or someone that's been in your life for a long time.
Generations back. When I learned that, by the way, Abigail, like in my, you know, studies and certifications, like I was blown away that is how much our body holds. So like there are things you're experiencing from generations back that you don't even know, you know, from a great aunt or whatever it might be, that it's like, you just, your body just wants to release it. Like you just really, the only job you have is to literally let it go and trust it's gone versus letting it stay within you to be moved on into the next generation.
Exactly. I think sometimes we know that like physical things are, can be generational and different things. Like, you know, obviously when you go to the doctor, they ask like your family history and stuff.
Right.
But I think sometimes that we don't connect that some of our, you know, maybe it's a fear that somebody else has that you've then taken on as your own, when in reality, if you sit there and think about it, you're like, I wouldn't actually be afraid of this, but they're so afraid of it. So then it got instilled in me or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And that generational, it's literally sitting, you know, in our cells and sitting in our fascia and in our body. And, you know, I always tell people how to think about the nervous system really simply. Think about your computer and how it gets stuffed up with so much junk and so many files and temporary files. Think about those temporary files that download. They're not yours. They're coming from other sites. They're coming from other places, other cookies, whatever it may be. Think of that as kind of like what's going on with all the generational trauma and all the ancestral trauma. It's all been sitting at the bottom and it's all stuffed up in your hard drive. But half that hard drive, maybe even 75%, is not even you. So you got to clear it out and get out the junk so you can actually get to, a clean hard drive of what is me, and now actually start to create, you know, what is that of me? And now I can actually see my own patterns and my own things that are going on versus everybody else's stuff that mucked me up. And now I can clearly see, okay, this is mine and I can move through it versus I just need to release this. I mean, even me in my healing journey, there's been times where, you know, I've had massive, you know, anxiety come up and I'm like, but I'm not anxious anymore. What is that? And then I realize, oh, it's my mom. Oh, it's my great aunt. Oh, it's my great grandmother. Like, oh, and I have these revelations of like, oh, this is family. I have to let this go. And, you know, I think when we can start to understand, like you said, it's not just the physical, but it really is mind, body, spirit. This is where we get to be free in our mind, body, spirit. And that's why I do this work, because I feel that especially nowadays, people need to understand who they truly are as a soul and that they have so much more power and authority than they give themselves credit for.
I absolutely love that. And what would you say for figuring out like, oh, this is, you know, due to somebody that isn't me. And how would you say, like, suggest that people go about that process of figuring that out and like battling the intrusive thoughts that they may have and trying to figure out whether it's themselves or somebody else having that fear?
Great question. For sure. So for me personally, when I do breathwork sessions with my clients, whether it be group containers or one-on-one, you know, when we drop in and we breathe, before we even do that, I have them journal and start to journal out what might be coming up or what they might be going through. We curate an intention of, you know, what they are wanting to experience and call in and bring in energetically. And then as we do the breathing and I take them essentially into their subconscious space, because so for anyone to understand, whether you've done breath work before or not, when you bring more oxygen into the body within about 90 seconds, maybe sometimes a few minutes, depending on the person, your brain actually starts to like the nerve receptors in the back of your brain start to shut off. So the thoughts, the constant noise is actually gone and you are able to be there in a clear space because you brought more oxygen to your body. And this is what breath work is, because when we consciously breathe, we're able to truly receive at a soul level. And so what I do with my clients is then we start to just breathe into that intention. And then I start to allow them to drop into like what might be coming up for them. If I notice they're getting emotional, I'll tell them like, you know, while you're breathing and you feel this emotion coming up, for example, I had a client last week I was breathing with, and she had a lot of anxiety coming up while we were breathing. And I said to her, I want you to keep breathing if you feel comfortable. And I want to ask you, is this yours? Or is this someone else's? And she got hysterical and she said, oh my gosh, it's not mine. It's my son. It's my, you know, mom. It's this. It's and I said, okay, I want you to just let it go. Keep breathing. We're going to let it go. And then I walk her through and I speak to, you know, that it's not hers. And I use different affirmations, and different rapid energetic rewiring that I speak, you know, with my client, you know, privately to help them release. And when we're done with the breathwork session, I have them come out and have them start writing out, you know, what came up. And then we speak to, is there more still there? Is there more they're still holding they need to process? Or do you feel you've released it and now you can look at what's going on, it's cleared, and we can go to the next level layer of, you know, where you are now. And obviously for some, it can come up right away in one session. For others, it may take quite a few sessions. Everyone is different, you know, as they let themselves go through this journey. But what I always tell everyone is, you know, one, work with someone, whether it be me or someone else, that is facilitated in trauma and they understand how the body works. It's really important that they understand and they're trauma informed, because when you do this work, and not to bring any fear, but just to have awareness, there is a lot of trauma that can come up because we all have trauma in us, whether it's ours or somebody else's. So you want to be aware and not push someone through an experience, which is why I always say you have full body autonomy, which is why I was saying to my client last week, hey, Are you okay? Okay, let's just breathe. I'm going to ask you, are you releasing for you? Is it someone else? And usually you know when you're in that space because you're out of the thoughts and out of the noise and you're in the subconscious and you know what's coming up. And if they don't, I'll just keep speaking to them and helping them breathe through, and everyone is different. But it's important to have that safety in facilitation, whether it be in person or online, that you trust who you're with and you feel comfortable to go through the experience so you can unearth the layers, so you can release. And it's also being really honestly curious and open to saying, my mind may not understand this, which most don't. Mine did not until I got certified, and that's okay. But it's just leaning into the trust and your intention that you are releasing, you are letting go, and that the energy is being moved out in that now moment. And knowing that healing is not linear, it is about dropping in that present moment and allowing it to happen.
Hello, beautiful souls. So as you may have noticed, this is a part one of the conversation. And you also may have noticed that it ended in a kind of weird spot. And like, where's the rest of the conversation? So for those of you that listened to cycle talk, part one and two, you will know that I am going to start splitting the longer episodes into two parts. Maybe not all of them, but kind of tried to do that. So just like the last time, this part is coming out in the morning, and then the next part will be coming out in the evening. Now, if for whatever reason, you know, recordings don't happen like they're supposed to, there is a chance that the second part may be coming out next week. But there is a second part. It is coming. And if you don't listen to this on the day that it comes out, this is somewhat irrelevant to you, but I hope that you are enjoying this conversation and that you not only listen to part one, but you listen to part two as well.